there, I'm James Lilex, and this is The Diner. On the air since 1997, on the web since 2005, and now available in handy, portable podcast form. It's Friday, February 3rd, 2006. Welcome. I recommend the stew today. I'm not sure what's in it. It just says, stew, on the chalkboard by the diner door. A fellow next to me had it a while ago. Smelled delicious. It had some claws in it, though. Not lobster claws, or the sort of claws you'd normally find in stew, but some sort of ancient claws of some creature that had long ago given in to the evolutionary imperatives of the planet. I think there's some trilobite in it, too. Oh, man. Trilobite meat. That's good eating. Tastes like... well, like most things, you don't know what it tastes like. It tastes like pterodactyl. But just don't expect anything kosher at the diner. Hi, I'm James Lilex, sitting here at the long boomerang pattern formica counter at the diner, out on Old Highway 23, about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. Just get in your car with the idea of heading towards a diner, and you'll find the place. But like I said, don't expect anything kosher. I became reattuned to the difficulty of doing things kosher here in Minnesota the other day. And an acquaintance who came over around supper time, and I wanted to give him something to eat. I know that he keeps kosher. I know the basics. You don't mix meat and dairy. You know, or is it dairy and meat? The plates are washed in a certain way, etc., etc. I mean, he's not real hardcore about it. He's not going to sit in the corner and look starved with a pained and accusing look if you get one detail wrong, but you want to get all the details right. When you have a Muslim friend over, you don't take off your shoes and socks and wave the soles of your feet at him. Look at these. Aren't they smooth and clean? So I went to the grocery store and confronted anew the difficulties of finding kosher stuff. Surprise, here in Minnesota, in the heart of Scandinavian land, there's not exactly one long aisle of kosher products. At most, you're going to get Manischewitz matzo ball mix up in the highest point of the counter with the dietetic stuff. The good thing is that vegetables are generally safe. You can, you know, this head of romaine felt no pain when it was, could write Johnny Cochran's kosher food cookbook. You get the head of lettuce, you get the, you know, some snap peas, you get some carrots and the rest of it, and you're pretty much safe. But dressing, kosher dressing, there's the problem. So I found a stock guy, I want to say stock boy, but you know, he's 55, 60 years old, and I asked him if he had any kosher food. And he looked at me in a way that says, I've been seeing you come here for 12 years. I had no idea. And he turns to his comrade and he said, do we have anything kosher? That's how he pronounced it, kosher. Kosher food. And the guy shook his head and said, nope, only at the holiday. The holiday. I got one, I guess. So, alas, I got some lox and some other stuff. Apparently that was fine. Went home and cooked a kosher vegetarian meal. No cooking involved. You may ask, why do I try to make kosher food when I don't know what I'm doing? I'll tell you. Tradition, 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 tradition. Have you guys been practicing that? Because that was really good. Man, people who come here never fail to surprise me. I mean, I don't know them all very well, aside to ask them for the salt or change for the jukebox. But apparently they practice these things, just waiting for the moment when I make a Fiddler on the Roof reference, so they can spring it on me. Well, in any case, Fiddler on the Roof is one of my favorite musicals as a kid. And I had two. The other was Lady and the Tramp. But in 1971, when this came out, I wore that big, huge, thick, double-disc MGM, I believe, labeled soundtrack flat. Mostly for the prologue there, Fiddler on the Roof, which I loved, and which my father loved. It shows the power of cinema, and the power of stage, and the power of music that here you have in the middle of North Dakota, this middle-aged petroleum distributor walking around the house like Topol, in 1914 Russia, shouting, "Tradition!" The songs that everybody remembers from Fiddler on the Roof, of course, are L'Chaim and Sunrise, Sunset. That ineffably sad song that if you don't cry at the end of it, you got no tear ducts, Mac, you got no heart, you're dead inside, you hear me, you're dead. You can't listen to that song without feeling tremendous, bittersweet grief, which is why I never listened to it. Who needs the aggravation? But when I was looking through the soundtrack a while ago, I came across the Tevye's Dream sequence. It's this Chagall-like set piece where Tevye gins up this imaginary fake dream in order to convince his wife that their daughter should not marry Laser Wolf the Butcher, but should marry Motel the Tailor. Motel, I should note, is spelled M-O-T-E-L on the IMDb page, which is hilarious. I mean, it's Motel. I'm doing a webpage on my own site about American motels, and I look at it now, and I see American Motel. Come stay at the Stardust Motel. Here, the Goldenrod Motel. TV, ice. Anyway, I'm listening to this, and I come across this passage by the composer Jerry Bock, who didn't do an awful lot. He seems to have mostly done Fiddler on the Roof, which is enough for one life, you ask me. It's a hell of an accomplishment, but he stole from Mahler. Oh, did he swipe. Now, you can make the point that Mahler stole from Jewish music, either directly borrowing the sounds of klezmer or just borrowing the intonations and harmonies and melodies of Jewish folk songs, etc. It's open to debate who stole from whom. But this particular moment is so Mahler-esque. It has to be a direct swipe, but if you gave any Mahler expert or any fan of Mahler, if you tasked them with the job of finding this particular little snippet somewhere in a Mahler tune, they would throw up their hands in despair. It's so Mahler-esque, you'd never find it. For all we know, it's all of Mahler summed up into one small little string passage. Never be found by human ears. Well, anyway, judge for yourself. It comes at the end of the piece here. Of course, you won't know it's the end of the piece until it's over. But don't worry. You'll know it when you hear it.
I mean the tailor, Tevye, my great grandchild, my little cycle, who you named for me. Motel's bride was meant to be. For such a match I prayed. In heaven it was made.
Here it comes.
A sign of standing by, a comfort and a joy, the tailor Motel comes on.
Okay, you know that's Mahler. Or maybe Strauss. But it's not Bruckner. And I'll bust in the chops any guy what says it is. I just get a Sheldon Leonard implant in. Anyway, I looked at Jerry Bock's other work, and it turns out that Fiddler on the Roof wasn't the only thing that he did of consequence. That would have been enough. Would have been enough for me. But no, Jerry Bock also gave the world this. That was Too Close for Comfort, performed there by the Jackie Gleason Orchestra. Yes, Gleason. I don't think the great one himself personally wrote the tracks, or arranged anything, showed up to conduct the band. I think he showed up at the studio with a cigarette in one hand and a scotch in the other and listened and said, that's good music. But I thank him for all the work that he did under his name. I love the Gleason stuff. It's very echoey and bittersweet and romantic and autumn of your life with Harry James trumpets, even though it's not Harry James. Good stuff. And that tune in particular, if that's the soundtrack for your life, you're doing okay. If that's what you hear when you wake up in the morning, you're doing okay. I say that as somebody who does not have a song in his heart when he wakes up in the morning. I have a sort of pensive 4 minutes and 16 seconds of John Cage-like silence until I get the coffee into me. How am I going to tie this all together? I got the kosher stuff, I got Fiddler on the Roof, I got the Gleason. Well, that tune was used in Hollywood Ending, which was a movie by Woody Allen, who, like my friend and like Tevye, was Jewish. There you go, all wrapped up in a nice, neat little bow. Whew. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, this is Jim Backus with a special announcement about an exciting Lazy Boy chair sale taking place at your Lazy Boy dealers now. Lazy Boy reclining chairs of your choice are available at unheard-of savings for a limited time only. Treat yourself and your family to a lifetime of comfort and beauty. Once you do, you'll wonder how you ever relax without one. Get America's comfort favorite, a Lazy Boy chair now. See your Lazy Boy dealer today.
Hey, run in there. He'll be glad to see you. Yes, he will.
Ted Brown here with the new seekers for Johnny Horizon 76.
We've got to do it now. We can't go on forever. Following up the stream, the river down the sea.
Let's put our power to work. Plant a tree. Pretty up a neighborhood. Get involved. Let's clean up America for our 200th birthday. Can you dig it? You can. Write Johnny Horizon, 76, Washington, D.C.
Kill me now. It's our last chance. We can't go on like this. The earth is doomed unless we all get down on our bare knees and dig with our hands in the dirt to plant birch trees. And that was to get you in the mood for the bicentennial, too. It's typical, though. Unless you grew up in the 70s, you have no idea what a braying, downbeat, banal decade it was. People rag on the 80s. Yeah, go ahead, but you know what? It had a better sense of style. I'm sorry. It's empirically verifiable. I will take a members-only jacket over a cast-off thrift store military parka in 1975. But let me give you an example. Let's say, typical 70s day, you pick up the newspaper, and the news is all uniformly bad. We're running out of oil. Don't have any. Lines around the block at the gas station. America's been defeated everywhere. Communism is in ascendancy. Studies show that we're going to have famines in 10 years or so. There's an ice age going on. Political corruption has gotten to the point where the president has to resign. And in short, all of Western civilization appears to be just gurgling down the American standard as fast as possible. And then you turn on the television set. And what do you hear?
It's Sale of the Century with Joe Garagiola.
Nope. No more of that. There is a special place in hell reserved for the man who wrote the theme songs for most of the 1970s game shows. It's a little bit of a disconnect, don't you think? I mean, you'd read the newspapers, you'd read the news magazines, the television shows, you look at the movies, particularly the Charlton Heston movies, which seem to indicate that the future will either be full of starvation, cannibalism, plague zombies, or ruled primarily by monkeys. And the general impression you take from all of this is that humanity, Western civilization in particular, is doomed. Give it up. There's no choice. We're over. And then you turn on the television set, and what do you hear? But this braying, bouncy, pseudo-quasi-Herb Alpert music, which is fit only for some washed-up DJ or second-string sportscaster to come bounding out and cross an acre of shag carpet the hue of orange and stare moronically into the glass eye of the television set as he announces some secretary from Kansas who's come by to try again for the big prize of $15. No, that was the 70s. That's what that all brings back to me. Well, let's see if we can get something from the diner jukebox to conclude with here. Let's see, I've heard that one, Crapa Palata. Heard that one. Huh, this is interesting. There's a blank card here. Wonder why. Usually you have the little card that has the A side and the B side and the artist information in the middle, in between these little red letters. You've seen them. But this one's blank. I wonder if somebody's going to play a trick on me here and drop the Price is Right theme song in.
I hope not.
All right, let's press the buttons. Try our luck. Cross your fingers. Here we go.
You better get your luggage packed. Meet you by the railroad track. Something to jive and swing. Everybody's jumping on the Palm Springs. Riding like a buckaroo, playing tennis, swimming too. Listen to the cowboys sing. Everybody jumping on the Palm Spring. While the snow is falling on the mountain top, and the coyote calling, boy, they never stop. If you want a dancing song, you better bring some cabbage long. Filthy lucre is a thing for everybody jumping on the Palm Spring. Yeah, yeah.
Ah, Slim and Slam, I love those guys. It's not the only 1930s pop jazz tune that has a guy singing a duet with a cello, but it's one of the better ones. Let's check the flip side and see what that one is. God damn it! I'm not paying for that one this time. Now, Judge, that jukebox needed shooting. What do you expect a man to do? Well, that should do it for today anyway. I've got to do some other things here, and really, it's time finally to leave the diner and head home and tuck the little one in. Thanks for dropping by, folks. I'm James Lilex, and this has been The Diner for Friday, February 3rd, 2006. We'll see you next week.
Can you dig it? You can.